I'm sorry to get the show off to a bad start and an angry start, especially on the first day of summer, but where the f*** are your party shirts?
Hey.
Mate, you can't swear.
Well, they can beep it out. They'll beep that. Well, I'm filthy.
Mate, I would.
Where are your shirts? I'm wearing the exact same shirt I wore last week. We left the office last time and we said, okay,
no,
we'll do it. Yes, we did.
No. We're not wearing party shirts, mate. We don't wear party shirts.
I don't.
We do. It's the summer edition of the podcast.
But, mate, that's the thing. I would never, ever wear that shirt. I'm not going to wear it on this podcast. I wouldn't wear something like that.
We're just trying to spice things up and bring a nice summer feel to it.
Right.
Move on, I reckon, mate.
What happened?
You can keep wearing it if you want
to. Well, I'm going to because we made a commitment. We made a commitment to our listeners. Yes, we did at the start of the year. And when we got together and said, are we going to do this podcast? And I said, yes, but let's wear party shirts.
Okay, Hummer. But I tell you what, hope the listeners have been listening to me give advice about cryptocurrency and Bitcoin. Everybody told me, you included, Matthew, it was a joke. You're going to lose all your money of held. And it is starting to almost get to all-time high. As of this morning, all-time high US dollar market. I've been giving you share tips the last 12 months. A couple of them have gone all right. I've officially sold out of all my shares on the ASX.
Don't
and I've put that money now into Bitcoin.
Did you
and a couple of other coins. There's a coin called Sushi, which is going really well at the moment, which I've had a crack at. Ethereum's flying, Link, Kasama. Hey, it is a revolution. People back in the 60s and 70s when bank cards came in, they said, hey, we'll never use
same.
That. We'll write out checks.
Oh my
Things
God.
Change. Revolutions happen, okay. Hummer.
I'm happy for you, Nate, because you've had a few losses over the years.
Laguna's not a loss until you sell.
I know, but the one thing I'm worried about with this Bitcoin thing, I don't understand it, so I'm not going to give any advice. But I do have another mate, a good friend of ours, who's put some money
into
Bitcoin.
Who's an imbecile.
And he tried to get the money out the other day, and it doesn't exist anymore.
So what our friend, so Ben
Harrison. It's just gone missing.
Ben Harrison.
He's tried to log in and it's not there. It's gone. It's vanished.
He put this into a fund. It's called an Amphix fund, and they trade on your behalf.
Oh, right.
And obviously,
is that the difference?
Strange enough when someone's trading on your behalf that they go and take your money, Harro. If you put it on a genuine exchange like a Binance, a KuCoin, or something like that, there's a few out there, Coinbase, the proper exchanges, Matthew.
Yeah.
You don't go trying to make a quick buck like our mate Ben Harrison did, you lose your money.
You know the one thing I'm worried about? Nathan has never been known for his due diligence. No.
Let's just go through some of the baddies. The townhouse in Sydney that was you thought was a beachside suburb and nowhere near it.
Yeah,
Laguna Key, the abandoned resort.
I bought that one in Sydney, not even looking at it.
You lost.
Loaned the whole lot too. Didn't even put a deposit down.
Laguna Keys is now that overgrown. It looks like the Amazon rainforest.
And again, it's just like Bitcoin. It's a hold. It is a hold. I haven't sold Laguna. It is up there. One day I'm going to be tanning myself.
We should definitely say that this advice is just not meant to be taken as advice as well. All that financial jargon.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Blah, blah. Don't be taken. No, because you can get
I'm not a financial advisor.
He's not a financial advisor. And you must tell them that pretty much every investment you have made has lost in the past.
There's a lot of them that have lost some money, and then there's been a few that have gone okay, Hummer, but
this is the one, though, Nate.
This is the one, Matthew.
Richo, what's been keeping you busy?
I've got back into running. I'm trying to get fit again over summer, look good, feel good, play good.
The chassis just, De Castella was it.
Yeah, no, so I'm trying to get my 3K down to 11:30. I want to get it down to.
Right. Why?
Sub four.
Just to, just to feel good and be fit. You know, I was starting to get a bit.
So are you playing the guy in your mind at the moment? Are you like, I need a challenge?
I do. I need a challenge.
I spend too much time on Twitter.
Yeah.
Lots of things on social media. I need an outlet.
Oh, you're right. I have been spending too much time on Twitter. No, I just want to get fit again because COVID, a lot of us put a few kilos on in COVID.
You don't look like you put weight on.
Nah, but I just felt unfit, when you don't feel fit. So, yeah, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm up to.
Are you doing? Is it a 3K loop or are you doing
No, I'm just doing it on a treadmill because the knees aren't
okay,
great.
Well, I'm sorry.
What?
A 3K time trial on a treadmill.
No, it is different.
It's markedly
faster.
You're
doing it
on a treadie. Yeah.
Well, come on, Richo.
It's still you trying to do 11:30 on the treadmill.
No, well, I know that, but it's a lot easier.
I'm 45 years of age. That's not bad.
You don't have to project yourself forward.
Yeah. I tell you who is looking in ripping nick at the moment. I saw a photo on Instagram the other day. Nick Riewoldt.
Oh, really?
Did you see his arms the other day?
Mate, he's
massive.
His arms, they're bigger than when he was playing.
He's just finished footy and all he does is arm curls.
Yeah,
that's
and they can have supplements and stuff they're not allowed during footy season. I'm not saying anything illegal,
that's
but they
silly.
Can have your creatine.
He would never do that. I mean, he is doing a lot of arm curls.
You know what Rui's become? He's become one of those guys that wears Lycra and rides around Beach Road.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
You can see that coming.
Hey, sponsorship update.
Yep.
TaylorMade calls went unanswered for one final week. So I am giving them one more. You guys have told me not to bake him.
Do you need us to make the call?
Maybe.
All right.
If I'm being honest.
Okay.
Mm. Maybe. So we're going to give him one more week. Have you?
I've got a
sponsor. Well, I've got one, and we will have to decline this one.
Okay.
Just because of it's not probably doesn't fit in well with the brand, but right. a lovely guy from a company called Sesh King.
Yeah.
Now, they make snorkels and stuff.
So
you can drink cruises really quickly and make all like, those party type stuff.
Can't be encouraging.
Which just, we probably don't want to be encouraging that.
Mickey Wall, one of them. He's the same time. That big
so ball. Very thank you to the Sesh King. We can't accept that one. I had another
this is like
one.
A sculling apparatus, is it?
Yes, yeah, so basically it puts like a straw. It's like the old straw pedo. It's the old straw pedo. But then right. you don't go on.
The old straw pedo, like I knew what the new one should have been.
In your Bendigo days, you weren't doing a straw pedo. It's the passion pop. But have you got one that might be on the...
I've got it. Yeah, I've got a mate who's doing espresso martini chocolate, right?
Ooh.
Justin Metcalf's espresso martini chocolate. So he's going to send us in some product to give away. So we'll come up with something to give away a bit of chocolate.
Ooh.
All right. I'll bring some in next week.
Bring some in.
Put them on
the list. Diego Maradona, unfortunately, and very sadly, passed away. I was probably a little bit early, young, for when he was at his absolute best and when he took the world by storm. But it just seems that, you know, he's up there now. You're just judging on the outpouring of grief. But he was just considered as the absolute god, wasn't
he? Have you watched the Maradona documentary on Amazon? It's unbelievable. You got to watch it. It's just, he was incredible. He was next level. He was the richest player in history when he transferred from Boca Juniors to Barcelona back in 1982. He set the benchmark for the biggest price ever. And what he did at Napoli, he took a struggling Napoli who had never won anything. Within 3 years, they'd won the Serie A, they'd won the Italian Cup, and they'd won the UEFA Cup within 3 years, the European Championships. So, look, he was a legend. I guess living in Australia, you didn't really quite know how big he was, but I was lucky enough to go to Buenos Aires 5 years ago, and we went down and had a look at the Boca Juniors Stadium, and it's in a pretty poor part of Buenos Aires, and he's just a god there. Every, you know, all the street arts, you know, murals of Maradona, he's like a god. Yeah, and I think FIFA voted him the equal best player of all time with Pelé.
I actually saw him in the flesh in Russia.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
At the World Cup?
Yeah, the World Cup. We were there and he was walking through with his entourage up to his little box and walked straight
young
past.
Young though, 60s young, isn't it? Dean Jones at 59 as well. So
I dare say some of his lifestyle choices probably contributed.
It's a good idea to look after yourself. As you said, you talked about being running, but 59 and 60 is way too young to die. But
very different circumstances if we're comparing Dean
Diego Jones had a pretty Maradona. Healthy lifestyle for a long time.
He's got the most out of his 60 years, let's be honest.
The one thing that was pretty ordinary that came out of his death, did you see that the undertaker that was looking after his coffin?
Horrific.
Did the security guards opened up his coffin and took selfies?
Horrific.
Come on, guys. I fear for their safety, actually, those guys.
Well, especially those the ultras that are going around there. That just they pack a bit more punch than the old grog squad that just sit behind the punt road goals.
No, they get serious.
Are you a Hawk ultra?
No, but I
you
was
weren't
one
happy
though.
When Isaac Smith you know uprooted and went to Geelong.
No, well, I was a...
You're an old Campbell ultra, aren't you?
No, when I was younger, I used
to be... for Ren polos.
I used to be
a real hard life.
Yeah.
My Hawthorne membership, I would get a reserve seat. Even though I had an MCC, I still liked to sit in the outer and stuff. And I remember one of the biggest punch-ons I've ever seen was when the grog squad were playing Richmond at the MCG one day. A couple of them came down because you know how they'd always sit behind the opposed... They'd always sit at the punt road end and they'd come down and start enticing a few of these Hawks fans and it was just on.
That punch on when we went to the New York Jets Buffalo Bills game.
That
massive
was...
punch on right in front of us. These guys are arguing and all of a sudden this guy turned around and he goes, "Your mum's a buffalo." And it was just on in front of us, like two seats away, and these two American dudes just throwing these not one landing.
No, they never do.
It was funny for most of the game. They were pretty funny for a while, weren't they? The Jets fan and the Buffalo fan. But then the Jets fan called the Buffalo fan's mum a buffalo.
Hey, speaking of legends in the ilk of Diego Maradona, there's a conversation that's coming up and a conversation that's probably getting a lot more warranted as time goes on. Steve Smith versus the Don.
Well, you brought this up, Nate. You think that Are you saying he's better than Bradman in his era?
I think we need to talk about how good Steve Smith is. I think he is not just a once-in-a-generation player. I think he is almost once-in-a-century player, the way he's going, as Donald Bradman was. Yeah. I mean, they're head and shoulders above anybody else in Australia. I think Ricky Ponting's probably then third. But Steve Smith, the way he bats and what he does, I mean, 200s, back-to-back, 62 balls. They've had a fair break. The way he bats, nobody's ever batted the way Steve Smith did. Yes, they've got bigger bats now, and Donald Bradman played with a smaller bat. We've all seen the golf stick against the Oregon. That was doctored back then anyway. But I think that, you almost have to start speaking about Steve Smith with what he's done in cricket is just about the greatest, because the bowling is better now as well. So it's all relative.
It is relative.
You've got to talk about him in the same respect as Don Bradman.
Oh, yeah. What he's doing is incredible. The one thing you got to mention, though, is Bradman played on uncovered pitches as well. Like, the pitches now are roads, let's be honest.
Yeah.
He's playing on damp, uncovered pitches.
Yeah,
so.
But again, back to Brownie's point, it's all relative. Don wasn't facing blokes at 160 k's an hour.
You can't compare eras, I don't think. And Bradman, in his era, was statistically twice as good as anyone else. Now, Smith's getting there, but he's not twice as good.
Smith's average in the 60s. Hmm. So
Bradman was 100, don't forget.
No, well, he didn't get there. He choked.
That's a bit rough. Who do you reckon?
You know what he said before? Hummer said before we went on air that Bradman was overrated.
He averaged 99,
I just don't think he was consistent as he could have been. No, have a look. All he needed to make was six not out, or six runs in his last innings that just finished on 100, and he choked. Made a golden. I think a golden.
He went for that. You
Tom Brady. Now, I got to watch him yesterday. It's one of the beauties of working from home is you get to watch a lot more American football.
You like American football?
I do.
Yeah, I love
it. The time zone is just perfect. Yeah. I mean, you get Sunday football, and then on Tuesday you get Monday night football. Friday you get Thursday night football. Yeah. So it's a nice sport just to sort of watch passively as well when you're working away. But Tom Brady.
The GOAT.
Well, he was the GOAT. Mm-hmm. You're suggesting that perhaps it might be.
That means there's got to be somebody who's come in.
Well, Mahomes, Patrick
taken
Mahomes.
Over.
Patty Mahomes. Mahomes. Did you see him yesterday?
They played yesterday.
Oh my God!
Now, this came up because a good mate of ours that we used to play footy with, Daniel Connors, he was a massive Patriots fan, and he's followed Brady down to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I just said, mate, I reckon he might have gone on 1 year too many. Now, he started the year off really well, and you've got to be careful to write off champions. But I reckon there's a few signs the last few weeks that he's hit the wall, Tom. And Connor's our mate. He won't agree with me, and he reckons they'll still win the Super Bowl. So I just want to put this on record.
He's delusional.
That I don't think they'll make the Super Bowl, and I just got a feeling Brady's hit the wall. It can happen quickly. He's 43 years of age.
When did you hit the wall?
I reckon he's hit
the
wall.
I like the fact that you're an NFL expert now.
Richard, he knows his football, his soccer as
Emmett
well.
Smith just walked into the building.
When did you?
I'm telling you, he's hit the wall in the last 2 weeks, and you can hit the wall when you get to that age of a day. Now, I take it back, 2019 preseason. I had a good preseason, coming off an all right year in 2008. And I felt $1 million going into round one. We had our last training session out past Mernda at, I can't remember the suburb. Is it Caroline Springs out past that way? It's out there somewhere anyway.
Out past? Nothing's past Mernda.
Well, it's Mernda
then. Mernda's into the line.
It's near Mernda. And I had to drive from Elwood to Mernda. I jumped in my car. This is before Carlton, round one, 2009.
This one you used to have that tiny little Alfa Romeo?
No.
Did you?
I had a jerk on there.
It's a tiny little thing. Mate, his head was touching the roof.
That might have been the rest. But I got in the car in Elwood, fell to $1 million. By the time I got out to our training place where we had an association with the local council, I got out of my car and my hamstring tendon was roaring at me, right? And it was perfect all pre-season. It happened in that one-hour car ride, and my career was over by round six. That's how quickly you can hit the wall. So just watch Tom Brady. Watch this space.
Okay, thanks. I will.
Hey, Nuffy Jar was in full flight again week. Now, how about your mate, Steve-O?
I like Steve-O, but he can have a clanger, Brownie. He's your mate.
I like him too. I reckon he's great, but he can go a little bit off kilter on Twitter. What do you do?
Well, you saw this one, huh?
I'm just waiting for it. Here we go. So this is just talking about Warner. Credit where credit's due. Game rolling along and then big yarn re-Warner from left field. It's where producers earn their dollars. We waited. Could they pull it off? Yes. Shots of Warner limping and leaving in car. Great telly. Like, what the hell?
Thanks, Steve-O. Thanks for the running commentary. You know what he followed it up with? with though, like later on in the innings, he wrote buffet bowling, Stark having a rough patch. Oh, thanks, Steve-O. We wouldn't have been able to see that.
He's on the Hugo's Grenaches.
So Steve-O is the aficionado of great TV.
People
now
incessantly tweet that shit you can see on the TV and happening. And I don't understand. We don't need a running call. You do it. I don't understand why you do it.
You know who else does it, mate?
Who?
Our man over here, Hummer. He had a mare the other night. And it was the cricket again. Well, you were watching the cricket the other night and you loved this one. The Aussie kit is absolute fire, says Hummer. Come at me, haters. Oh, come on, Hum. What is
Look,
that?
I've had a few good performing tweets recently.
How did that one
did not hit the mark at all. No, because I thought the kit was fantastic, but social media didn't like it. So
you were inviting a bit of criticism and it just didn't get any traction.
I was. Not my best tweet. Hey, last week with Joe, something was doing your head in that it didn't even polarise the community. Let's have a look at this week.
And it's doing my f***ing head in.
I'll tell you what's doing my head in, boys. I hate being ripped off, like everyone. You hate being ripped off?
I don't think there's any people. Who's going to say?
Well, it just really gets me. And this one
ask
the other day.
A question when you get ripped off before you get into it. Yeah. If you go to the supermarket, right, and you get home and you got strawberries or you got some peaches or something, and you open them up and one's got mould on it.
Yeah.
Does that mean you can go back to the supermarket and take one for free?
Yeah. I'm far too lazy though. Mm. That happened to me with an onion the other day. I just had to go get one onion.
Yeah.
I came back and it was just brown.
Black inside.
And that's
Did you
not
take
enough.
It back?
Nah. No. I couldn't be
stopped. That's when next time when they won't take
it. You've both been ripped off there. I had to get a couple of bags of ice the other day.
You spoke about this last week. Have you done the sums?
I've done the sums, boys. My wife's sister, was having a birthday party and I was in charge of just bringing a couple of bags of ice around for the Eskies. So get up to the local service station and I was staggered at what I saw, Nathan. The cost of a bag of ice was
$4.50.
$4.50 for a 5 kilogram bag of ice. So as I said, Hum, last week, I'm going to run some numbers on that. So just I'll step you through it. 5 kilograms is equal to 5 litres, okay? So 5 litres of water has gone into that 5 kilograms of ice. So I got on the Southeast Water website just to check out the price of water. Now, a kilolitre of water is $2.63, Hum, right? A kilolitre of water. So there's 1,000 litres in a kilolitre.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, that is cheap.
So listen to this. So divide your $2.63 by 1,000, okay, to get the price of 1 litre of water. So the price of 1 litre of water is 0.00263 cents, okay?
Yep.
So then you've got to times that by 5 to get out to your 5 litres. So 1 litre, 0.00263, times by 5, and you have the cost of your water in a bag of ice, which comes to 0.01315. So the cost of the water gone into that 5 kilo bag of ice is less than a cent and a half. A cent and a half of water has gone into that bag of ice. So chuck in the cost of the bag, the plastic bag, how much, Nate? A few cents, perhaps?
It wouldn't be many, Matthew.
It wouldn't be much. A little bit of tape around the top.
Yeah, the little steel knob they put on it sometimes.
Like, at the most, that's another couple of cents, 4 or 5 cents.
Yep.
So my costings here are that bag of water,
the fridge that it goes in.
Yeah, you are forgetting the
electricity that costs.
I'm talking about the actual cost of that bag. It's got to be less than 6 cents, okay? 6 cents, and they're charging $4.50. That has to be the biggest rip-off in the history of rip-offs.
Here is a business idea. Richo's bag of ice.
I'm going into ice.
Yeah. We actually said that during the week. He's like, have you seen A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe?
Yes, I have.
That's what Richo's been. Look at his sheet of equations.
6 cents. I've done the sums there, boy. 6 cents for a bag of water.
Imagine rolling into a servo, right? Just any servo in Victoria, Tasmania, any of the footy states where people know who you are. And you just see this big ice container and his head is on it selling ice.
Richo's ice.
I'd buy Richo's ice.
The real estate thing around the eastern suburbs, so you may as well now be on ice containers.
So I reckon that's a business idea. But what I want our listeners to do, someone tell me if there's a bigger rip-off than that.
If those equations are correct,
I know you've got refrigeration and transport.
I know, but I feel you might have very, very grossly undervalued the price of a litre of water. Because like, think of your water bill, right? It's at what, a couple hundred bucks a quarter?
No, mate. That is the, that I got my bill out. That is the costing.
Oh, that's what they charge you, really?
A kilolitre of water.
Chili Billy. It's now Chili Ricky.
A kilolitre of water is what I'm being charged for my water at home when I have my shower. It's $2.63. 1,000 litres in a kilolitre. We're being ripped off.
I like it.
I like it. Hey.
It's a good idea.
Now, last week, we launched a segment.
Yeah.
Now, what we've worked out is it's going to take a little longer to dive in, but we're talking about the obscure Where Are They Now? So now, yep. Basically, we just want to find out some players that, you know, that we loved a lot when we knew we might have been playing with them, or
cult
fans
figures.
Or watching cult figures that we just have not heard of. They haven't gone into coaching. They haven't gone into the media. And
like a Mark Zanotti or something.
We don't know
like
where
that.
They are. So we put the call to arms on social this week. Now, I'm going to give you some names and we're going to pick one of these players. Now, I want to pick a name.
We're going to chase them up,
we're going to chase them up. But hopefully, you got, like, I'm going to be honest, most of it's going to have to come from you.
Because
right. You guys all have right. Got the networks.
So, who are the major ones that we come back
to? Josh Thurgood.
All right.
Now, if you remember Josh Number Thurgood, he was the pale redhead, and Matthew Lloyd rearranged his face one day at the MCG.
He was good at that, Lloyd.
Remember, Richo had the Matty Lloyd had the arm guard.
Yeah.
And he just absolutely clobbered in the face. Ken McGregor.
Kenny McGregor, Adelaide Crows.
Yeah.
Tony Modra came up. I don't think he's obscure enough.
No. Well, we know what Mods is doing. He works for the Crows.
Oh, does he?
He does a lot of work with their fans and supporter groups.
Rowan Jones came through. Adam Hunter.
Adam Hunter.
He's got a pool cleaning business.
Oh, really?
So that's our first.
One of the great swimmen.
G-Train and Stephen Baker.
You know who I'd love to get on for a chat? Is the great Ange Christou. He's a cult figure.
Ange Christou came through, and so did his job. He owns
a fish and chip shop.
Yeah. So maybe that's one. Michael Barlow, Tommy Alvin came through, so there's quite a few.
Tommy Alvin.
Who are we going after? I would love to go after Josh Thurgood, but it's up to, is there a way?
Right, we'll try possibly and get Thurgood, and if we can't, I reckon we could get Ange on for a chat.
How many games did Josh Thurgood play?
Oh, 30?
Mm. I reckon less than that.
Years.
I reckon 20.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go after Josh Thurgood. So if you are listening and you know a way to get onto Josh Thurgood, or you might know where he is.
Is he someone that a lot of people would know, though, or just real hardened footy people?
No, I think, because he had quite a bit of a following because of his appearance.
He had the red dreadlocks.
Hey, well, Brownie, last week you nominated something, a new segment. I've completely butchered that.
Brownie's taking
the piss.
Yes.
Let's not take the piss here. I certainly was.
Well, I think you are.
What do you sound English?
Hey, I don't know. It's obviously got from a movie or something. That's great. I like that. I only had one today, but since we've started this program, I've just got another one. The fact that Richo is taking the piss.
Why?
The fact that he says he wants to get his 3K time trial down to, what did you want to get it down to?
11:30,
and then decided to tell us that 11:30 is on the
treadmill.
He's not even out in the street pounding the pavement. He's not going to the tan. You're not even running around Albert Park Lake. Want to do it on the treadmill. You can set it whatever want, mate.
I've got crook knees,
You're
mate.
Taking the piss.
That right, is taking
fair
the
enough.
Piss.
Yeah. I'll do it. All right, I'll do it on the footy oval for you then.
And the other one. The other taking the piss. Now, this is I'm keen to get off Twitter and Instagram. I reckon virtue signalers. Now, there are
What's a
virtue signaler, Matthew, is when there's a bit of an issue in society and
they jump on the back of it.
They jump on the back of it every time. I reckon you could know in your head when you go through Twitter who the virtue signalers are in our industry. I'm not going to name
virtue
them.
Virtue or virtual?
Virtue. No, not virtual.
You just said virtual.
There are so many who just, I think, take the piss and
jump
try
on
and
every course.
Make themselves look better in the eyes of everybody else when I don't think they're that good. I don't think they're that much better.
So are you saying?
I'm doubting them, Matthew. I think they are just feeding
looking
people.
Looking for likes.
They exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Who? Give us names.
No, I'm not going to name anyone. That's disrespectful.
You gave us names outside.
But then Matthew said we could get in trouble if we name names, so we are not going to name
Sam McClure one?
No.
Oh, Scoopy?
No. Sam McClure is not one.
There's a lot out there, though. I agree with you.
All right. I won't say what you told us off air.
I reckon you get a bit of jump on a few things.
I absolutely do not. I'm the polar opposite. I despise people like that. I'm the polar opposite. As my infractions for social media, I'm on my last strike. One more, I'm fine.
Are you really?
Yeah. So, yeah, I've got to be off Twitter.
Is that why you went with that the cricket one?
Speaking of, how did you go after the fallout from your right lane debacle last week?
No, not good. So we, in the my segment last week, I talked about taking the right lane. Now, my belief was if I'm going the speed limit in the right lane, I won't be pressured into changing lanes because I'm going the speed limit. I'm sticking to the law.
Yep, okay? Which was proven wrong and illegal.
Yeah, and I must admit, the feedback I got.
I have never seen Twitter so one-sided. And normally, Richo, I mean, you're adored on Twitter.
Well, you expect some of your real nuffies to jump on.
Not even they jumped on.
No, they didn't.
It was 99%.
People on the right lane.
They do. And I found that out now. So I will be endeavouring to stay on the left. But
see, and
one thing that people missed was I did mention in that segment that I was trying to get
left. How hard is it? What do you mean? It's
I couldn't, mate. It was back. The traffic was.
Yeah, but there's all. It's called you indicate and then just move across.
Make excuses now, mate. You stuffed it up.
But the people behind you that are up, you know, a metre behind you, it's dangerous, and they're breaking the law because they're trying to speed. So I'm not quite backing right down. But I reckon my support was under 1%.
Hey, I've got it taking the piss. Brownie, where were you on Friday night?
I had some dinner at the Clarendon and then I went to the Espy.
Who were you with?
I was with James Brayshaw and Damien Barrett.
Well, I was sent a message.
Imagine how they thought they were sitting there.
Just sitting
and
there.
You know where they would have been, humming the Espy? Right on that front balcony where everyone can see them walking past.
No, we weren't, actually.
Were you drinking a wine?
Oh, we'd had a wine. We'd had a couple of wines, had a couple of beers, yeah.
But I was told that perhaps after you had the wine and then the beer, you just went to something a little bit more fruity. And dare I say a little bit, not fruity, a little bit less manly.
Mm.
You were spotted at the Espy with your smug grin on, just not talking to anyone, drinking an espresso martini.
Oh, you were.
You disgrace.
Look.
Were you drinking an espresso
martini? I had an espresso martini, and I must admit,
oh my God,
it was very nice. Now, I don't order espresso martini, so we were sitting there. Luke Tunnicliffe was there as well, who produces Triple M and works Freddie Maguire. He's a ripping fella. So there's me, Damien Barrett, and Brayshaw, and we've been drinking beer and wine most of the day.
So you're getting a bit full, were you?
So then it's Brayshaw's turn to go up to the bar, and he does not care what one iota what people think about him. He walked back through the crowd carrying four espresso martinis, and we all had a good laugh when he brought them back. And we thought, you know, have you lost yourself? But they were very, very good.
They do
give late you a bit in of a
night,
kick.
Late in a night, if you're just struggling a little bit, they give you an extra hour, I reckon.
He could not care what people think of him.
How was it? Did you have many people coming up to you throughout the evening?
Yeah, a few, yeah.
Oh, I can just picture it so clearly. I would have bopped you.
Do you know what he had on his feet again? Those $1,000 sneakers that he wears.
What are they called?
The Spice Girl sneakers he wears with the 3-inch heel.
I didn't actually, no.
I haven't seen the 3-stripe Adidas tracksuit. I mean, I'm surprised someone like you would be wearing them. Because it's not
normally. He's part of Run DMC here, though, isn't he?
Hey, Richo, a couple of weeks ago, you've had a very well-documented partnership with Tag Heuer.
I thought I'd wear it today for you.
Oh, you've got it on. Yeah. It is nice.
Yeah,
it's nice. It is very nice. Markedly better captioned this week, this time around. It was a bit better. The first one was the worst copy I've ever seen on an Instagram post ever. Right. For listeners out there, it was Richo with his lovely partner.
It's not a bad
standing out over a boat going, look, is it your Christmas present over there? No, it's just your Tag Heuer.
At least it's not a bad brand to be an
ambassador. No, it's a fantastic
brand. Yeah, we've got Brad Pitt in America, Tag Heuer, and we've got Matthew Richardson in Australia.
Well, it turns out that Richo is not the only influencer that Tag Heuer have reached out to. Tommy Hawkins.
What?
Who has got look at this on the screen. Tommy Hawkins, he's with his lovely partner. Oh,
I thought your shot was bad, Matt.
Combining both heritage and timeless modern it.
Sometimes you just got to say no. Nah, we're going to do a different photo to this one.
And then
this is the one that's just a normal, nice shot. Well done, Olympia.
Olympia Valance.
You and Tommy have made absolute fools yourselves.
Now, I would say that Tommy's probably got two watches because his partner had one as well.
Well, Jen got one.
Oh, does she?
But I'm a bit worried now. I think I've lost my deal.
Be out the door.
I think I've been superseded by the tomahawk.
Hey, Brownie, a common theme that you always seem to mention is that life was much better in the 90s
Oh, mate.
Than it is now.
Without a doubt. Life was heaps better in the 90s. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. I was watching the cricket the other night, and yes, it was entertaining. Scoring so many runs, Steve Smith 100 off 62, Maxi was smashing them, David Warner was playing well as well, but then the Indians didn't bat that well, so it was a bit lopsided, a bit one-sided. Cricket in the 90s, to watch it, it was unmissable.
Yeah.
You had to sit home, watch the one-day international. It was that exciting when the Indians come out, or the West Indies, when they had Ambrose, Patrick Patterson. It was exciting, and you couldn't look away. It was great stuff.
The high scoring's good. Yeah, we love seeing sixes and fours, but I reckon it's too lopsided now, Nate. It's too far the batsman's way.
It is.
I feel like the bowlers don't have a chance anymore.
Footy in the 90s was much better to watch, and I reckon it was much better to play. Not playing at the moment,
all
obviously, but it was just there was no defence. It was just all out attack. They haven't even thought about defence. So all your good players were in the middle, and all your good players were in the forward end. So the players that didn't have any talent got put down to the back end.
And that's why there were a lot of goals scored.
And that's why there were a lot of goal scores. But in my opinion now, the players that have been put down in the back end still are the blokes with little talent, but the coaches have got smarter. The game plan has got better. And those guys with less talent, they've benefited from that. Mm. Whereas you just leave the stars and the playmakers to themselves and they go out and do what they do. But the defenders, and the game has slowed down dramatically. Dating a female back in the 90s, was much better because you had to work at it, Matt. You had to go out. You had to put some effort into it.
You didn't have Tinder.
You didn't have TikTok. You didn't have Tinder. You didn't have Snapchat. You didn't have all this rubbish.
You didn't have mobile phones.
No. Go out, speak to a girl, maybe write down your number on a piece of paper, give it to her. Then what you had to do, there was no mobile phones early in the 90s. You had to actually ring that girl at home. And always the old man would answer. So you had to go through the old man first. So you'd done your time. You'd really worked hard to get a date. And then the only place to go was the pitches. You used to go to the pitches. So you didn't have to speak that much. You could sit there and just enjoy the fact. There were so many good things in the 90s.
But if you went out on a Saturday night and got a phone number, you normally had to wait till Tuesday or Wednesday. You didn't want to look like you were too keen.
You still get that in modern day.
That reminds me of a trip to London in 1994. Richmond played Carlton at the Oval in 1994. And we had a week over there before the game and we could do a bit of sightseeing and we were getting out and, you know, going out for dinner and having a few drinks. And I was only 19 years of age at the time and no mobile phones. No one had emails back then. The internet might have just started, but no one had emails at that stage. And I met a girl from America, from Salt Lake City in Utah. Beautiful girl. And, you know, I fell in love in the space of 2 or 3 days.
On a footy trip.
I fell in love, which, anyway, comes to the end of the week. We've played the game and I was travelling around Europe with a few of the boys after we left London. I had to say, goodbye to my friend in Salt Lake City, Utah. She was heading back to America. And she gave me a piece of paper with her address and her home phone number in Salt Lake City, Utah, right? And I looked at it and I went, I'm going to go to America next year after the footy season.
Oh dear.
You know, I'm going to keep in touch. I'm going to write her a letter. I'm going to give her a call at home. And for the next 4 weeks traveling around Europe, every now and then we'd be out at the pub and, you know, I'd start thinking about her and I'd pull out of my wallet the bit of paper with her. And I'm looking at it and I was in love.
Because you couldn't text her.
I couldn't text her. I wondered what she was doing.
Look at her Instagram page. You couldn't Snapchat.
Couldn't do anything.
You had to look at the piece of paper with her address.
Her address on it.
This is the 90s, huh?
It was great. Anyway, we finally flying home from Paris to Hong Kong. We had a big night in Paris, our last night, and we're hungover and we get to Hong Kong and we just want to get home to Melbourne and we're sitting in this food court of Hong Kong Airport,
Hong Kong. You going to write her a letter when you got home? Or?
Oh, yeah, I was going to write her a letter and give her a call. Anyway, I'm looking at I'm really hungover and...
Well, you just kept looking at this address?
I pulled it out again. And I'm just dreaming about her at Hong Kong Airport, looking at the bit of paper. And one of my teammates, Brian Lees, who travelled with us for that month, he was sick of it.
Oh, no.
He snatched the bit of paper off me. He put it in his mouth.
Oh.
He chewed it up and spat it out. And he looked at me and he said, grow up. You're never going to see her again. Well, I'm not now, am I? Because it's gone.
Surely you would have memorised it by that.
We would have been married now in Salt Lake City.
I tell you what, if you ever want an indication that no one from Richo's family or close friends or anyone that knows his partner listens to this show, it's that you could tell that story comfortably.
Music. was better in the 90s. There's no rock bands, like really good rock bands these days. So I look back through my back catalogue and everything that I like to listen to. So I've come up, I was going to do the top five rock albums or top five my albums of the 90s, but I couldn't even do top five, so I had to get it out to top 10. So coming in at number 10, was the Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream. Yeah. Remember Brad Pierce told me once that 1995 grand final morning, you used to set your alarm with the old school way, that he reckons that the beat of Siamese Dream, Today is the Greatest, woke him up at whenever he set his alarm, grand final morning, 1995, went out
that's
five.
True. Yeah, that's true.
Only in the 90s. UMI, Owly Daly. They're the only Australian band in the top 10.
Is that right?
Yep. I love
That's a great album.
Metallica comes in at number 8,
Beautiful.
Guns N' Roses, Use Your Illusion. I'm going to put in 2. Now, imagine how good it would have been if they just did one Use Your Illusion, got rid of, there's a couple of crap songs on there. Yeah. 1 and 2 became just Use Your Illusion. Could have been number 1.
They're coming out.
They are.
For Triple M. Do you get free tickets?
I know what it's going
to be. Do you get free tickets to that concert?
I will be, yes.
Number six,
this is a bit more low key, but Jeff Buckley, Grace, one of the great albums of all time.
I played that the other night. I got it on vinyl. Yeah. That's a good album.
After a few reds?
Yeah, a couple of reds and a bit of Jeff
Buckley. They don't make rock and roll stars like this anymore. Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
Coming in at number 5.
Yep. He's not
number
with 4 us anymore, Scott.
Is he?
No,
heroin?
Singer.
Always heroin.
Radiohead, number 4. Now, they went, the Benz is the album, they went a little bit weird after that. You know those bands that then think they're too cool for school, they go into electronica and they start to think, you know, we're going to do something really good. They were great back in the 90s. OK Computer was really good. So they went a bit weird after that. Pearl Jam comes at number 3 with 10. 1991, what a great album that was. Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory, number 2.
I reckon Definitely Maybe was better.
Yeah, but people say that. But then you look at What's the Story, Morning Glory, and the hit after hit after hit. Yeah. So, and number 1, without a doubt, with a bullet, Nirvana, Never Mind. I played it the other day to Christina in the car, and she just didn't get it.
She didn't get it.
She didn't like it. She said, what is this? What is this crap you're listening to? I said, this changed music. What did it change?
I made Jen sit up a lot over COVID on YouTube, on the TV.
Yeah, well, how good? Because you can watch the whole Unplugged concert on YouTube. Sit down there with a bottle of wine. Oh.
Best concert is live at the Paramount Theatre in Seattle, 1991. They play that whole album. Brilliant. Brilliant. Hummer, this is before you, I know.
No, well,
the 90s were good, Brownie.
I love Nirvana. So, hey, last week we didn't think we could ever top the stinger from Hummertheticals, but somehow I've managed to do it.
That's a head, Hummer. I'm taking time.
Yeah, that's
ugly pill.
Yeah, that's so. For those listening, I've done a stinger and they've put my face on Danny Zuko, but it hasn't translated as well as I would have liked, and it looks like I've suffered a severe stroke.
Do you reckon there is a head or a head of hair that you would translate well in?
What do you mean? What's wrong with my hair now?
You look good.
I reckon we should next week just try a couple of hairstyles on you of good-looking men. So, like, put a George Clooney on your face, maybe put a Brad Pitt.
With Photoshop, you can do anything.
Yeah.
Stop painting out like I'm some monstrosity. all right, let's have a look at the leaderboard from last week. We're going to look at the best. Dustin Martin on 4, Sam Power 3, Cam Smith 2, Greg Norman 2 for his package, and Cryptocurrency on 1. While for the worst, we've got Collingwood on 3, Adelaide Pizza Shop on 3, Lachlan Spark on 2, Ned Guy on 2, and Richo's mate Trumpy.
That's funny.
Okay, worst on this. Are we going to best on or worst on?
Go best on.
Best on. Jeff Walsh retired this week. It's hard to stay in one industry for as long as he did in a cutthroat industry like football.
30 years, wasn't it?
35. One vote to Jeff Walsh. 2 votes to the big show, Glenn Maxwell. I mean, this guy, I don't understand why he's not playing more test cricket. I think he should be in the test side. He is just entertainment personified when it comes to cricket. And 3 votes to Steve Smith. We've already said that he's better than Bradman, so he has to go in for 3.
Yep.
I like it, Nate. I gave 1 to Chris Lynn. Now, we know Chris Lynn, the Queensland cricketer batsman. He made his return on the weekend in the Brisbane, District Premier
League.
It's
still a very, very good standard.
This is one step below Sheffield Shield cricket. So he made his return. He made 155 off 55 balls.
T20.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, 20-odd sixes.
Highlights are great.
Yeah, he can hit the ball like no other, Chris Lynn. I gave 2 to Iron Mike Tyson. What an effort. He lost 45 kilos. He's 54 years of age. He looked ripped. Now, he wasn't as quick and powerful, but he was ripped. Oh, my.
It's good to watch him.
It's good to see him out there. I love him. And I gave 3 to Steve Smith as well. Two tons off 62 points.
Well, that's going to put Steve Smith right to the top for the worst brownie.
One vote to David Warner. Not for your injury, David, but for the carry-on that went on. I mean...
He's ripped his groin.
He ripped his groin, Matthew. Had to do it with a bit of humility, rolling around like he'd been shot or trampled on by an elephant. You suck it up, Dave.
You should know better, mate.
I got carried off and I just sucked it up, Matt. Did not show any sort of emotional. David Warner, where is your... Disgraceful.
He was sucking on one of those green sticks.
Not until the ambulance.
Brownie did really well.
Two votes to the Essendon pay issue. It's just messy. It's just another messy thing for that football club. So I guess I'm giving two votes to the Essendon Football Club. And three votes. Did you see how bad the Indian fielding was in both one-day internationals? Like just easy balls along the carpet, perfect conditions at the SCG, straight through them like they are the Tower Bridge, going for four, Matt.
Yeah, they were bad. I've given one vote to the Denver Broncos COVID policy. I'm a big NFL fan, Nate. Their COVID policy, you'd think, who's your most valuable player on your team?
Quarterback.
Your quarterback. Yep. They've got four quarterbacks, right? Mm. You'd think they would separate them. Yeah, train from different facilities. Because if your quarterback goes down, you're in strife. But when all four of your quarterbacks get COVID... you're in trouble, aren't you? Right? So they've had to call up a wide receiver from their injury reserve list who played a little bit of quarterback in high school to play quarterback in an NFL game. And not surprisingly, he had 9 pass attempts. They just rushed all day. 9 pass attempts, didn't nail one of them and had 2 interceptions. So get your COVID policy right, the Denver Broncos. Separate your quarterbacks. I've given 2 to the judges in the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. fight. Tyson won every round. Even I know that as someone who knows nothing about boxing. Absolute disgrace. It was a draw.
You don't know much about NFL, but you're an expert though. You may as well be a boxing expert too.
I'm the new John Madden. Don't worry about that. And I've given 3 to Essendon as well. Oh. But you can't just email out your players and say we're doctoring your pay 9%. You've got to consult them first. You don't just send an email out.
So I dare say Essendon will be on the top of the worst, while Steve Smith will be the top of the best. Now, before we wrap up the show, we'd always like to finish with homotheticals. Big shout out to Jamie DeBono, who just sent me a message on Instagram saying that because of homotheticals, his missus lets him listen to the podcast in the car with them.
Oh, really?
With her. And they binged 8 episodes straight while they drove from Perth to Margaret River.
Oh, wow.
So a big shout out. Here's the stinger. I've got a soft spot for the first stinger. A bit more than the one that's made me look like I had a stroke. All right. 3 homotheticals. The first one. Would you prefer to have, for the rest of your life, 2 extremely painful ulcers, 1 on each cheek, or lose your driver's license for life?
Nah, I'll put up with the ulcers. They're not that bad,
just
are they?
2 ulcer. Really bad ones, though.
Oh, they can be bad.
Yeah, they can be bad.
Oh, gee. I guess you can get an Uber everywhere. You want to have some coin, though. No, I'll put up with the ulcers.
I'll go the ulcers too.
I wouldn't. I'd go the drive. I could not sit in there with 2 shocking ulcers.
So you can never drive a car ever again?
No.
No. I'd go the ulcers.
You just don't get caught.
Well, no, you don't do that, Nathan.
Don't do that.
That was like Nathan. Hypothetical.
You would do that.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, if the world was ending and Elon Musk offered you a seat on his spaceship but you couldn't take your family, would you go?
No, I wouldn't go. No chance.
No, that was a shit one.
No one would do that. Oh, only a real narcissist would do that. I know a few people.
All right. I might do 4 because that was a silly one. Now, this one isn't mine.
You've got all week to think of these, Hum.
Most of the time, to be honest, I do it in the drive-in. If we discovered that there was an asteroid on a collision course with Earth and we found out that we've got 20 years until impact, right? So we know it's going to destroy us in 20 years. Would the world work towards a greater good, or do you think chaos would ensue?
No, I think it'd be a free-for-all.
I think we'd start off with good intentions, but it would absolutely turn to shit.
I reckon your last 18 to 12 months would be
fun.
Be anarchy.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, if you know you're gone in 18 months, everyone's bad intentions
what would you do?
Come to the fore, I reckon.
What would you do?
Who knows?
I'd go and drive trains.
Early days, I'd travel.
I'd go and steal trains.
I'd travel to every place I want to go.
Yeah.
But then, steal trains.
Well, I really want to drive a train. Like it's, you know, how's this?
Tell M 123.
This guy watches trains on YouTube.
I've applied to be a Metro train driver every March for the last 5 years.
Rubbish.
Every single March for the last 5 years.
Why do you get knocked back?
Sometimes I haven't even got through to the testing stage. Twice I've got through to the testing stage and just haven't.
Is it harder than being a fireman?
That shirt would be a reason to.
Wait, it's way harder than being a fireman. I think they get like.
Ask Kane Corns, yeah, and he did it for about 10 minutes.
16,000 applications and they hire 12 people a year or something. Yeah.
Wow.
It's good scratch. Yeah. Okay, last one. Would you rather all plants and animals died tomorrow and we live a normal life, or all humans die tomorrow and Earth is restored to its original state?
Well, no, I want to live. I want to see my girls grow up, so.
The animals and the trees can.
But it's not going to be an Earth with no trees.
No, but that's a hypothetical. That you know how these work.
A hypothetical.
Yeah, no, I want to see my girls grow up.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to sacrifice a few.
You need to work on your
hypotheticals. Not the best week for hypotheticals, but we'll bounce back next week. You can't knock every week out of the park. And this way we just get next week when they're just a little bit better, they're going to be remarkable.
And don't forget, listeners, I want to know if there's a bigger rip-off than that ice. Send them in.
I want to know if we can track down stuff Josh Thurgood, the Salt Lake City girl.
Oh, no, she's gone.
All right. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. And we've gone a little light on the comments on iTunes, which we love to read. So if you just want some merch sent out, the merch store is open. We've beaten COVID, so I can just walk to the warehouse and get it out whenever I want. Make sure you put a comment on iTunes. Good luck on the punt this weekend. Gamble responsibly.